Hello, everybody. This is Georgianne Hughes, and this is The Bite Show. And right now, we are very concerned, and we have Reverend Ted Pike with us. You can find his website at www.truthtellers.org. And God bless Reverend Ted Pike for standing up against this hate crimes legislation. The hate crimes legislation is a very hateful thing. Oh, hi, Ted.
Hello, Georgianne. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, listen, you're welcome anytime, you know that. Okay, give us an update. What's going on?
All right. Well, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was made aware of an interview between Senator Edward Kennedy and Larry King. That would be the April 20th interview. And I have been watching the strategy of the Anti-Defamation League and Senator Kennedy over the last 6 months to see what their plans are going to be, what kind of an offensive they were going to take to try to reintroduce and jumpstart the hate bill again. That's the federal anti-hate bill. And as many of our listeners probably know, last fall, Senator Kennedy squandered a sure victory for the hate bill by bargaining with the minority Republicans in the Senate Judiciary Committee. The hate bill had passed resoundingly in the House of Representatives. It had gone into Judiciary, and there was a majority of members of the Judiciary in favor of the hate bill. Kennedy was riding high. And then, to our astonishment, as a result of tremendous publicity, which largely came from myself and others on the new right, such as Dr. Dobson and Jerry Falwell and Concerned Women for America, as a result of all of this tremendous flack coming in to the Senate protesting the hate bill, these spirited Republicans cut a deal with Kennedy, and he exchanged the concession from the Republicans that they water down this Children's Safety Act, Children's Protection Bill, to make it easier on his pedophile supporters. You see, this children's bill, which was approved by the House, is very anti-pedophile. It was very harsh. It's a Republican, conservative-generated bit of federal legislation, which would put extreme restrictions and surveillance and so on those who sexually abuse little boys and girls. And Kennedy evidently has a contingent of pedophile supporters who didn't want that legislation to go through as it had been crafted in the House of Representatives last fall and was approved in the House. And so Kennedy cut a deal. He says to the Republicans, if you will soften and water down the Children's Protection Bill, I will also forego my privilege of running my hate bill across the Senate and on to the President, and I'll stand up in the Senate and I'll demand passage of it and have it reattached to the children's bill. Now, that all sounds complicated, but in a word, here's what happened. Kennedy fumbled the hate bill. He botched things in the Senate Judiciary Committee, and from that moment on, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist would not let Kennedy stand to his feet again, literally throughout the last 6 months, in order to try to reattach his hate bill, S-1145. And so we've had a tremendous standoff in the Senate for the last 6 months. Now, only legislative insiders and people who have listened to The Bite Show and other alternative radio programs in which I have been speaking, as well as those who receive my e-alerts from truthtellers.org, only these insiders, if you will, have known that of the nature of this standoff between Kennedy and Frist in the Senate. Meanwhile, people like Bill O'Reilly and John Walsh of America's Most Wanted and Kathy Lee Gifford, the media personality, they have just been tearing their hair in frustration, saying, why in the world is this child-protecting legislation being delayed? Months and months and months and months have gone by, and nothing is done. We can't get a straight answer out of Kennedy. We can't get a straight answer out of Frist. They are evasive. And nobody really knew that there was one reason, and one reason alone, why this children protecting legislation, which would supervise convicted pedophiles, was being held up in Congress. And that was because Senator Kennedy, like a dog in the middle of the road, was sitting there blocking its passage. Now, I sent out an email alert on Tuesday, April 25th. I got really nervous after I heard the Larry King program. I knew Kennedy was about to act. He was about to... Things were coming to a head, you know, with
right.
media personalities like Kathy Lee Gifford and all these people raising all this stink, saying, why in the world can't we get this bill passed? I realized that Bill Frist was coming into a vulnerable position because he might be goaded to go ahead and introduce the children's bill prematurely as a result of media and public pressure, and giving Kennedy the opportunity to stand in his feet and demand a vote on the hate bill. Now, this was no idle threat by Edward Kennedy, because nearly 2 years earlier, the Senate had responded to his call for a vote and had voted 65-33 in favor of the anti-hate bill. So Kennedy knew he still has the votes there in the Senate. Frist knows he had the Senate since had the votes. Frist knew that Kennedy had those votes as well. So it was a real standoff between these titans of senatorial power. Now, on Tuesday, April 25th, I sent out an e-alert, a very widespread e-alert. We have 5,000 people on our e-alert list, and I should mention to listeners, if they'd like to be on that list and get the most cutting-edge information on these issues, just come to truthtellers.org, sign up there, and you'll get these the same time. About 250 talk show hosts get them every week.
Wonderful, very informative articles on your website, Ted. I compliment you.
Well, thank you so much, Georgianne.
Yes.
Anyway, I sent this out to my 5,000 email subscribers, and of course that multiplies exponentially as other people's lists are included and so on, and it travels all over the Internet. And I also sent it to some media, big media outlets, including, WorldNet Daily. Yes, I have many editors at WorldNet Daily who receive my e-alerts. And so what happened was, on Tuesday I sent that out, and then on Wednesday and Thursday, something radically enlightening happened to Bill O'Reilly and John Walsh. Suddenly, they saw with crystal clarity that there was only one reason why this cherished children's bill was being blocked, and that was because of Edward Kennedy and his hate bill and this duel between Kennedy and Frist. And instantly, with electric vitality and anger, O'Reilly went to the airwaves with John Walsh, and he incensed millions of viewers of Fox Television News, calling them to blitz Senator Kennedy's office. I should mention that before he did that, he said on the air that he had called Senator Frist's office, and he said, Senator Frist, is this what I hear true, that Senator Kennedy is the only thing that's holding back the passage of the Children's Act? And Senator Frist said, that's absolutely right, and Frist encouraged Kennedy to mount a full-scale campaign against Kennedy's office. And literally tens of thousands of angry viewers of Fox Television News blitzed Kennedy's office. Now, meanwhile, I had been on about 18, or I got on about 18 talk show host shows nationally, really the big ones like Derry Brownfield and John Stadmiller, Rick Adams, Jack Blood, and so on, and we really blanketed the country with calls challenging people to take a toll-free number and come to truthtellers.org, where the 100 senators are there, and make all 100 calls to Congress using this toll-free number. I encourage people to just stay on the line and leapfrog from senator to senator in one call, getting all 100 senators. Literally thousands of people did that. They flooded my website, and we had roughly probably at least 400 calls a day coming to every member of the U.S. Senate criticizing Senator Kennedy's hate bill and urging those senators not to vote for it. So it was a real avalanche, And as a result of that, the following Friday, following the National Day of Prayer, the date on that I think was May 5th, we got word that Senator Kennedy had capitulated. He had decided to get out of the way and let Frist bring through the children's bill. Thus, the children's bill was passed. The great duel between Kennedy and Frist was over, and Kennedy was resoundingly defeated once again in Senate.
Well, he needs to be defeated, period, and not in office anymore. The guy is, he's just burned out.
Well, you know, speaking of being defeated and burned up, I saw in the newspaper a couple days ago that Kennedy was flying and his airplane was struck by lightning.
Yeah, I know. Gee.
Well, I would think that the gods are speaking to him.
I think maybe Jesus Christ is having a word there with Kennedy.
Absolutely.
You know?
The downside of this, of course, is that Kennedy's legislation is what's called standalone legislation. It's not affected in the Senate by what happened in the Senate Judiciary, so it can be reintroduced throughout the rest of this term of Congress of the Senate, which is about 7 months.
Yeah.
And so we are rejoicing, obviously, that the ADL and Kennedy have suffered a tremendous setback. But at the same time, we have to be extra vigilant because Kennedy could quietly attempt to attach that to another piece of legislation coming through and call for a vote in the Senate. And I believe he may still have the support of senators, which he has wheeled and dealt with, to support that bill, and they could again pass it in the Senate.
Well, Ted, people out there have got to understand that there are men and women up there in elected capacity, as well as sitting judges on the bench around the country, that are involved in pedophilia themselves.
Yes.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the fact that Kennedy would give away a certain passage of a hate bill in order to please his pedophile supporters rather than pleasing his homosexual supporters or his ADL supporters is an index of how huge the pedophile influence must be upon him.
It's an industry.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what they have on Kennedy or what kind of relationship he has with them. But if they show themselves more important to him than the homosexuals or the ADL and the Jews, then that is a very very disturbing index of a rottenness within the United States Senate.
Mm.
Now there are some bright things we can think of. I'm not wanting to put people at their ease and let them let their guards down, but the fact of the matter is that this attachment of this pro-homosexual hate bill on the underbelly of this children's protection bill was a dream relationship for Kennedy and the ADL, you see, because everybody's, of course, in favor of protecting children. And what happened eventually was the bill passed unanimously, and there was tremendous public support for it. Now what Kennedy has to do is find another bill that he will be allowed to attach his hate bill to. But the problem is he's incurred so much anger from the American people and even resentment from members of Congress and so on for being so obstinate and standing in the way of this children's bill that he might have a hard time persuading the initiators of other legislation to let him attach his kind of Typhoid Mary bill onto their piece of legislation, because it could mean that legislation will go nowhere in this term of Congress, you see.
Yeah.
Because if Kennedy's bill is attached to it, it means that Bill Frist, by definition, is going to be adamantly opposed to it and won't let that other piece of legislation go through for the sake of Kennedy, you see.
Right.
So that is a point of optimism we can keep in mind. Also, one of my informants called Kennedy's office several days ago, and the spokesman there said that Kennedy might try to just completely reintroduce the bill on its own merits as a bill without being a rider on other legislation. Well, in the last 7 years in which the ADL has been trying to pass this legislation. They have never done that because legislation which stands all by itself has a tendency to invite much more scrutiny, much more criticism, much more debate, and even the possibility of congressional hearings.
Oh, good point, Ted.
Yeah,
That is
an abomination to the ADL. The ADL does not want even senators reading the language of this bill.
No,
they don't want any attention to it.
Yeah.
So these were two of the alternatives which Kennedy's spokesman gave, and almost humorously he said, well, you might also call Bill Frist and beg him to let the Kennedy push the hate bill through. So there are signs that the Kennedy ADL ranks have been dealt a very, very severe blow. They were holding their own. They were determined they were going to have their hate bill. And they, as I say, they're about 7 years late. They tried to get it passed in 1998, and since then there has been a succession of reasons which I believe God Almighty has masterminded, flukes and reasons and bunglings and so on, which have kept this Orwellian legislation from becoming the law of the land, making America a hate crimes bureaucracy like Canada, where freedom of speech is now a thing of the past.
Yeah.
So we are seeing tremendous divine providence and intervention, but I want to thank also those listeners, particularly of Alternative Talk Radio, who will do more than just simply make the obligatory call to their member of Congress and or their members of the Senate and of the House, but instead really are very anxious to be given an assignment. And what I'm finding is literally thousands of people have shown themselves willing to sit down for an hour and a half or break it up during their lunch breaks during the week and go down the list that they find at Truth Tellers. I just was looking at an email from a lady today who made those calls, and she said, Reverend Pike, you made it so easy for us to do this. You just come to Truth Tellers and make these calls with one toll-free number, and you can saturate the Senate. So what I think we're doing is we're kind of developing a new strategy toward effective activism and grassroots lobbying, which really is getting more results, I believe, than the traditional just one or two calls to your members of the House or Senate.
That's right. You're right. And people have got to understand, especially the Christians out there, that they want to squash everything to do with your Bible, with the word Jesus Christ, with they want to take that away, and they want to take the freedom to talk about that away.
Yes.
Isn't that true?
Oh yes, this is in my opinion that the Local Law Enforcement Enhancement Act, which has been initiated by the ADL about seven times since 1998, is the most dangerous legislation which has ever come before Congress, in my opinion. It's more dangerous even than the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, if you can believe that, because this will put us on a slippery slope downward into an anti-hate bureaucracy such as those which are enveloping countries of Canada, such as Canada and European countries, Australia, New Zealand, and so on. Basically, what this bill would do is twofold. Now, I should mention before I mention these, give these two immediate consequences, is that the defenders of this legislation always say, whether they're introducing it in Canada or New Zealand or the state of Utah or wherever, they always say, oh no, this legislation has nothing to do with ever-ending free speech. This legislation is merely empowering the government to more effectively fight and suppress violent hate crimes in the states. Now the legislators say, oh well, that sounds good, we're all against violent hate crimes, we don't want things like Matthew Shepard and being pinned to a fence, and black people being dragged by pickups, and all that kind of things, and homosexuals savaged and bashed, and so on. So what they say is, oh, that sounds good. You know, the public is against violent hate crimes in the states, and so these senators and representatives in the local legislatures and even in Congress have practically lined up to vote for this legislation. Now, here in a nutshell are two of the immediate consequences of hate crimes legislation, whether it's on the state level in the ADL model hate crimes laws, which have now been passed by over 40, 45 states in the United States, or the federal law, which is the ultimate apple, the ultimate prize for the ADL. The first thing the federal bill will do is to establish a dual justice system in the United States, such as exists in Canada.
Yeah.
Now, in Canada, you have the old-fashioned English law, which is identical to what we have here in the United States. And in our traditional legal system, the police have got to find some kind of definable, physical, tangible crime or evidence of a crime before an arrest can be made, and certainly before an indictment can be made. And in other words, you've got to find bruises, broken glass, dented fenders, or whatever.
Well, I would say dragging somebody behind a pickup truck, that's a crime. And we don't need legislation to define that. We've got legislation that protects people.
Precisely.
Yes.
I couldn't say it any better, Georgianne. In fact, the state of Wyoming, which gave triple life sentences to Aaron McKinney and the other fellow, I don't quite remember his name, who were involved in the murder of Matt Shepard, Wyoming doesn't even have a hate crimes law on the books.
Right.
But through the discretion of the judge and jury system, bias motivation was taken into account. Also, heightened penalties were taken into account as part of the traditional justice system, and they gave these guys three times a life sentence. Now, that shows that our traditional justice system is more than able to fairly and accurately and punitively, if necessarily, deal with hate crimes.
That's
in
right.
The United States. We don't need some big federal bureaucracy meddling and taking over states' rights and law enforcement.
Amen.
Now, what I'm saying here is in Canada, they have a dual justice system. They have the traditional English law, just like we do, but they have a bias motivation hate crimes tribunal system. And what that says up there is that if some member of a federally protected group, such as a homosexual or Jew or Indian or whatever, feels that their tender emotions have been hurt by verbal accusations or verbal intimidation or contempt, for example, saying on the radio that homosexuals have a higher rate of AIDS than the rest of the population.
Well, they do.
Yeah, it may be a fact, but facts are not allowed into the hate crimes tribunal system of Canada. But what you have up there is the definition of a hate crime is extremely simple. It says if somebody who's a member of a federally protected group, such as homosexuals or Jews, can claim that their feelings are hurt, for example, by hearing from a pulpit or hearing on a talk show or reading in a newspaper that homosexuality is an abomination according to scriptures, or scriptures are recited or printed in the public media, then that person or persons, those homosexuals, can go to the hate crimes police and get an indictment against whoever put those scriptures in the newspaper or made those comments on the radio, and it will be sustained because the definition of a hate crime in Canada is causing contempt for federally protected groups such as homosexual. Verbal expressions of derision or contempt. And so up there, every pastor, every talk show host, every publisher has to walk on eggshells looking over his shoulder lest somebody will hail him into court because of something he might have said that can be construed as intimidating other people or hurting their emotions, you see.
Oh, their emotions. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
And one of the things about the dual system up there, the hate crimes tribunal system, is that once you are so unfortunate as to be indicted under a hate crimes charge, you are facing a minimum of probably $175,000 out of your own money to save your freedom in the courts. You are looking at maybe a $5,000 or $10,000 or up to $35,000 fine from the government. You are looking to at months of legal quibbling in the hate crimes tribunal system as bias motivation is is argued over, or they attempt to define it or ascertain whether it motivated these words or actions and so on. And so, in contrast to our legal system in the United States, which is relatively forward, relatively clear and defined, the hate crimes tribunal system is a disaster of subjectivity, as personal opinions, personal emotions and feelings, these subjective emotions become the criteria of whether crime has occurred or not. And of course, as I've said, only God or a good psychiatrist can really divine whether someone is really motivated by bias, or to the extent they're motivated by bias. And so we have a tremendous amount of intangibles that enter into the legal process in the hate crimes tribunal system.
Well, the hate crimes thing, that, you know what that is, Ted? It's racketeering. You know, it's just a racket.
Well, it's when a special interest group,
yeah,
primarily the ADL, the Nybarith people, which
they are a racket.
They get in the position of becoming the lawgivers of society. They make the definitions of what hate is. Hate, in fact, the working definition of the ADL for hate is bias against federally protected groups. And of course, this, by definition, makes Christians, Bible-believing Christians, into haters.
Yeah.
Because the Bible calls homosexuality an abomination. And if you uphold that and teach that, then you become biased and you become a hater. So these laws, as you say, are a racket. They are manipulation by the ADL people in government, controlling police, controlling FBI, controlling the Justice Department, laying down these twisted definitions which are intended for one and only one purpose, that is to entrap Bible-believing Christians in the toils of the hate crimes laws.
Well, you know, that's... The ADL can call themselves what they want. They're nothing but a bunch of damn pagans. That's what they are. They're pagans.
Well,
they are anti-Christ. You know, there is no word too strong to talk about what these people are, Ted.
Yeah, they are absolutely anti-Christ, that's for sure. But they would disagree that they're pagans. In fact, Abe Foxman, who is the head of the ADL, the national director of the ADL, is a staunchly Orthodox Jew. Now, that might shock people.
That doesn't make any difference. Ted, we've got Christians, Jews, and Muslims, and all kinds of people that are not, they are not God-fearing people.
Well,
they are just, they are paganistic and political. They cannot differentiate between, political Israel and biblical Israel. And if you say anything, oh, you're a Jew hater.
Yeah,
excuse me.
Yeah.
You know, that is a crock.
Yeah.
That's just a crock.
Yeah. Well, the fact is, though, that as an Orthodox Jew, someone who upholds the Talmud and the Zohar or Kabbalah, who earnestly believes in the Zionist experiment and the ambitions of Zionism in Palestine, who also believes that someday the true Messiah of Israel will come and rule the nations, Abe Foxman has a religious agenda. He believes that Christianity is based on the lies of a false prophet and deceiver, Jesus Christ, and he is determined as an Orthodox Jew to push down Christian influences, symbols, traditions, and so on, so the overlay of this Jewish New World Order can slide over the top of it. And that's why, in a nutshell, why the ADL is so pro-homosexual.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily have any great love for the homosexuals, but they find in the homosexuals a tremendously powerful lobbying force, a battering ram, if you will. The homosexuals have something like a $40 million annual legislative budget. They're very, very focused. They're very activist and oriented and so on. And the ADL knows that they're a tremendous ally in battering down Christian values and Christian civilization. And so these are the evil Jewish leaders, which I am impelled to criticize, to rebuke, and really to call the Jewish people to get out of these organizations.
You know, Ted, I would even dispute the fact that they're Jewish. They're not Jewish. A real Jew believes in the Torah. He does not believe in the Kabbalah.
Well,
you know,
the thing is, a real Jew, according to the New Testament, is someone who believes in the true Messiah of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But there really aren't, you know, you hear this phrase bandied around Torah observant Jews, and as if there are Jews out there today who follow and revere the Old Testament.
Yeah.
The only Jews out there who follow and revere the Old Testament are Christian Jews.
That's right.
Because the Orthodox Jews have abandoned basically the Mosaic Law, and they've abandoned the prophets, and they believe that the rabbis, the Pharisees, have a much more superior ethical and religious guidance system for Jews throughout all time.
Yeah, well, that's nothing but a cabal.
Yeah.
You know?
So anyway, getting back, I just wanted to pick up on the second major effect of this hate bill, if it had been signed by the president. Number one, as I said, it would create a dual justice system in the United States, in which we also would have not only our English law, but we would have a bias motivation, a legal system established in courts and judges making hate crimes laws from the bench and inviting all more and more of these weird groups to get special federal protection and more intimidation of Christians, especially pastors and publishers and talk show hosts and so on. But the second effect of this federal hate bill would have been to break down states' rights in law enforcement. And that's why this bill is called the Local Law Enforcement Enhancement Act. Actually, it's the Local Law Enforcement Takeover Act. It gives the federal government, on the slightest pretext, the right to intervene in states' rights in law enforcement, especially as concerns any kind of charge of hate crimes, whether it's just a simple bias crime or a violent crime. Even felonies, this legislation gives the federal government the right to come in and take over prosecution and adjudication of felonies in the state. It's a takeover of states' rights in law enforcement. And what this is basically doing is establishing an uninterrupted chain of control and command between the state level in law enforcement and the federal level. Now, back a year and three quarters ago in Philadelphia, the ADL's National Executive Board member, Lynn Abraham, was the district attorney of Philadelphia. And as district attorney, this ADL, top honcho of the ADL, was able to give an uninterrupted command right down to the street level, to the police on the street, to arrest these 11 Christians there for the so-called hate crime of witnessing to homosexuals. And she was able to throw them in jail for 21 hours. She was able to sock them with a possible 47 years in prison and $80,000 in fines each.
She's pretty hateful, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. She is the ultimate hate criminal. Anyway, Lynn Abraham, you see, was able to do that without any kind of checks or balances on her power. From top to bottom, she gave a command, and it was fulfilled by the local police on the street corner. Now, that's what the ADL wants to do nationally. They want to be able to give commands not just to arrest Christians in Philadelphia. They want to give commands to arrest Christian pastors and talk show hosts and evangelists all around America simultaneously, so they can literally get dozens of hate crimes indictments going simultaneously, get them in the toils of the law, and get them adjudicated and under appeal, and so that no one will have such a mess, a tangle of hate crimes indictments in this country that we'll never be able to pull them back or rescind them, never be able to even to rescind the federal hate bill that started the whole mess in the first place. That is the dream of the ADL, is to send our country and the Christian Church into legal chaos, which in a word means persecution against Christianity.
Boy, you talk about hateful. Woof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we as Christians, we read our New Testament and the Old Testament also. In the book of Daniel, it says that the Antichrist will wear out the saints of the Most High God. He'll persecute Christians and wear them out. And in the 17th and 18th chapter of Revelation, we see this great harlot, which I believe is a Jewish harlot of the city of Jerusalem, blood is dripping from her. She's red with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Now these are all indexes coming from the Bible itself that the church will be persecuted ruthlessly in the last days. And yet most evangelicals do not realize, they never would dream that this persecution is going to come from the same Sanhedrin, the same Pharisees, the same Talmudic system that persecuted the early church in the book of Acts. But you see, what is happening here in a nutshell is that, 1900 years ago, the book of Acts describes how the early church was ruthlessly hounded and harried throughout Asia Minor by the Pharisees, by Saul of Tarsus, by the Sanhedrin, and so on. And that had to come to an end around the beginning of the 2nd century AD, when the Jews were finally completely expelled from Palestine in that region. Well, these evil Pharisees, they wanted that to continue. They couldn't do it. Most of them had to go back to Babylon into exile. But now they want to resume that New Testament persecution of Christianity and finish the job they started 1900 years ago.
That's why.
We have to consider, evangelical Christians have got to reconsider some of these clear statements out of the scriptures. Jesus says, beware of the leaven or the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees, which is basically the teaching of the Talmud. He says, beware of it. Don't go out blessing Zionism, blessing these evil Jewish leaders. Jesus says, no, you beware of it. And Paul says that there's enemies. These Jews, these apostate Jews, are enemies of the gospel for the sake of the church. He says, beware of the concision, which means the circumcision, meaning the Jews. And the scripture goes on and on. It describes them as the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews but do lie. Now, we as Christians, we have evangelicals in the 20th century who said, oh, I don't have to pay too much attention to that. You know, that sounds kind of anti-Semitic, and I'm not going to read those Bible verses from the pulpit or in my Sunday school class and so on. I'm going to be positive, and I'm going to just rejoice in the fact that the Jews have come back to their promised land and fulfilled all these scriptures. I'm going to bless Israel. Whatever she does against the Arabs, I'll just bless her and make God happy because Israel is the apple of God's eye. Well, the fact of the matter is that even though we as evangelicals have had very loving feelings toward these evil Jewish Zionist ADL leaders, the fact is those kind and loving feelings are not returned toward us. These evil Jewish leaders are intent on sabotaging and undermining everything that is Christian, everything that has blessed the Jewish people, even here in America. They are determined to overlay, as I earlier said, a Jewish, rabbinic, Zionist world order and ethical system upon Christian civilization.
Well, my goodness, these so-called leaders, I mean, this, people think, well, the Sanhedrin, that happened, a couple of thousand years ago, there's no such thing. Oh, yes, there is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Georgianne, I have a book, a 345-page book, in which I go into very great detail on this whole Pharisaic conspiracy, how that Jesus excoriated these Pharisees. He called them whitewashed tombs, generation of vipers, full of dead men's bones, and so on.
Yeah.
And he really knew what he was talking about. He was attacking not just the established leaders of his day. He knew what Pharisaism would become.
Yes.
And in my book, Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma, which is available at truthtellers.org. You can buy that online with your credit card. It's 345 pages of powerful, insightful information, massively documenting how these Pharisees took the Jews back to Babylon in the 1,000 years after Christ, how they created the Babylonian Talmud, which is an anti-Bible, how they created the Zohar or Kabbalah, which is full of dreams of world revolution, giving the Jews sovereignty and world dominion over the Goyim or the Gentile cattle. I document all this. I bring the reader up through the emergence of Jewish control of the TV networks in the 20th century, publishing of the newspaper empires of the world and of the United States. I go into Bible prophecy and show how that the great harlot Israel, great harlot Babylon the Great, is actually the same spirit of unbelief within the rabbis, the false leaders of Judaism, which has magnified exponentially into world control in the last times. And so what we have to do is we have to really reevaluate as Christians how evangelicals in the 20th century have gone astray from the clear teachings of Jesus and the apostles, have instead followed these evil Jewish leaders and been propagandized and brainwashed by them so terribly within the 20th century. And I believe also that by bidding Godspeed to these evil men, Sharon and Likud government and Menachem Begin and Shamir and all these evil men during the 20th century, we have assisted in inciting and rousing up the Arab world into animosity, not only against the Jewish people, but even against the United States of America,
right.
And most tragically of all, against the message of the Christian gospel. And so there have been tremendous geopolitical ramifications out of these theological and doctrinal errors which have crept in to the evangelical church, largely through the propaganda of ADL during the 20th century.
Yeah, well, it's an agenda for sure. And a lot of these evangelicals are the very so-called, they wear the label of Christian, but I'll tell you something, Ted, they are instrumental in ushering in the new world religion.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, they surely, their leadership cannot be that stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think what we see with people like Kennedy and even some evangelical leaders is that they have gotten in bed with the synagogue of Satan, and these evil Jewish leaders, they don't waste their efforts when they get into the good graces of someone of influence. They find out what their vulnerabilities are, what their indiscretions are, what those skeletons in their closet might be, and pretty soon these people are subject to blackmail.
Yeah.
And I think that certainly is probably the case with Edward Kennedy, with his sordid record of social and, of sexual indiscretions.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, as I mentioned, the Bible says that when we bid Godspeed, that is to encourage and bless those who are evil, pretty soon their moral corruption begins to pass over to us. We become partakers of their evil deeds.
That's right.
And right now in Palestine, these little Arab children, the Palestinian children, are fair game for the target practice of settlers on the West Bank. They shoot at them. They shoot them through the head, and then they claim, "Oh, I thought he had a hidden bomb inside of his robe or whatever." And there are just tremendous tales of atrocity and persecution against the Arabs. And the Americans stand by like Saul of Tarsus and hold the robes, hold the garments of those who are stoning these victims, innocent victims. And this cannot be the will of God. It cannot be His will that such atrocities and abuses take place against the Arab people. And the truth of the matter is that most of these Arabs and Palestinians are at least partially Semitic. They come from the same loins of Abraham thousands of years ago through Ishmael and Hagar, and it is not God's will that this kind of reverse racism be participated in, considering the Jews to be holy and exalted, but the Arabs to be second-class, almost animalistic people for whom it is permissible to be victims of discrimination and oppression.
Oh, well said, Ted. Would you like to close with a prayer?
Yes, I certainly would.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that there is still an outlet of free speech available in this dark world through Internet talk radio, alternative talk radio shows such as The Bite Show and George Ann. We are able to leap over the walls and boundaries of propaganda and media censorship, which have plagued us for so many years and decades. And we do pray, Father, today that we may take advantage of this window of opportunity to sound out not only a message of political reality and legislative action from your people and the forces of truth in this nation, in this world, but also you will give us grace to remind our listeners that unless we repent and turn to you and humble ourselves before you, as 2 Chronicles tells us, unless we become contrite and confess our personal and national sins, we will go the way of Rome. We will go the way of those great and decadent empires which slipped beneath the surface under the waves of history. But we do know that you are giving us encouragement and you are giving us signs. One day after the great National Day of Prayer, this May, Kennedy's hate bill was resoundingly defeated in the Senate. Thank you for signs like that, Father. Thank you that you are making it very clear that you are presiding over our nation. You are a burden. You are concerned. And all you are asking is that we turn to you. Get off the internet. Get off the porn sites. Stop buying the liquor and alcohol. Stop taking the drugs. Stop involving ourselves in fornication and pornography. We turn to you. If only we turn away from these national sins, you will come out and you will open the windows of heaven of reprieve and blessing. You will be able to expend the time and give us grace, give us a reprieve so that the evils and the oppressions that are coming around the world, especially as a result of hate laws, will not get a grip on the United States. So today we close in prayer and we ask not only your blessing, but we ask our listening audience here to take a moment right now to bow their heads as well and say, Father in heaven, forgive me for my sins. I pray to you. I ask for your benediction and your reprieve and your blessing upon our republic as long as we will trust in you. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Ted. You're a real champion before God, and you standing strong, and he instructs us to stand strong and occupy.
Yes, redeem the time.
Amen.
Well, I couldn't do any of this without people like you and Jeff Daniel and other people. I was on a good show with, I can't even begin the list. I've about 18 in the last several weeks who made the difference there in Congress. So you keep up a good fight, Georgianne, and I'll do my part at my end, and I hope a lot of people will take this program, will download it off of the Byte Show, and spread it around to your pastor, your friends, your conservative group. Let's get the word out and stand, each of us, like the sentinel in Ezekiel, stands on the wall and declares that the enemy is coming.
Amen. God bless all of you out there that are listening to this. Download it, like Ted said. Get it on your hard drive. Burn copies. These are free. We do not sell our shows. Everything is, listener supported. And we do need support, folks. So God bless all of you who hear this. Get busy and stay alert. Stay alert. This is Georgianne Hughes with Reverend Ted Pike. You can find his website at Truth. TRUTH Tellers TELLERS.org. Go there and read. There are some very excellent articles, very truthful. So, this is Georgianne Hughes with Reverend Ted Pike signing off. Good night, everybody.